Welcome to Historical Jesus. I'm Mark Vinette. Christian art uses subjects, themes, and imagery from Christianity. Most Christian groups use or have used art to some extent, including early Christian art and architecture. Sacred images of Jesus and narrative scenes from the life of Christ are the most common subjects, and scenes from the Old Testament play a part in the art of most denominations. Images of the Virgin Mary and saints are much rarer in Protestant art than that of Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. Christianity makes far wider use of images than related religions, in which figurative representations are forbidden, such as Islam and Judaism. Early Christian art survives from dates near the origins of Christianity, although many early Christians associated figurative art with pagan religion and were suspicious or hostile towards it. Much of the art surviving from Europe after the fall of the Western Roman Empire is Christian art, although this is in large part because the stability and continuity of church ownership has preserved Christian art better than secular works. During the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church led the way in terms of art, using its resources to fund and commission religious art imagery, especially paintings and sculptures. Orthodox art, known as icons, regardless of the medium, was commissioned by the Eastern Church to glorify Christianity and has otherwise continued with relatively little change in subject and style up to the present day. As a secular, non-sectarian, universal notion of art arose in 19th century Western Europe, ancient and medieval Christian art began to be collected for art appreciation rather than worship, while contemporary Christian art was marginalized. Let's learn more about this colorful topic with the Pictorial Podcast.
Christian art,
religious art,
the history of Christian art, European art, which generally consists of Christian art. It's interesting to see these Bible stories as well as Christian history being depicted by different people in different ways. Christianity is a very large world religion. It is probably the largest religion in the world in terms of the amount of people who are Christians. Basically, it stems from the life, teachings, and the death of Jesus of Nazareth in the first century. It's composed of many branches and different churches. The biggest groups are the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox churches, which were split sometime in the Byzantine era. So there's quite a big difference between those churches. And then there are many Protestant churches, and they break up into a lot of other independent churches like Anglican, Baptist, Evangelicals. But basically, it is everywhere in the world, and there are a lot of people who follow different doctrines. Early Christian art. Christianity began in the first century of the Common Era, first century AD, and that is what the birth of Jesus is what our modern calendar is based around. In terms of Christian art that we know of today, some of the earliest surviving art dates back to the second century onwards, so maybe about 100 years after when Jesus would have been around. Most of these art pieces are found in Rome's catacombs, which is where a lot of burial places are, and a lot of Christians were buried there, and they produced paintings mostly for tombs and on the walls of the catacombs. Some of the reasons these artworks have survived for almost 2,000 years is because it's underground, it's not exposed to light, and it's much easily preserved that way. This first piece is a story from the Bible. So it is called Jesus Healing a Bleeding Woman, and it's a fresco that was painted on the walls of one of the catacombs. And this is a Bible story that's in multiple gospels, like it was in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's basically the story of Jesus. He was walking around, and then this woman, for some reason, came and grabbed his robe, and then he healed her wounds. And it's one of the many stories of Jesus like performing miracles and healing people. But the reason I brought this work up is because Jesus is depicted a little bit differently than what we would have normally been used to.
It's not quite monochrome, but it's very much all just different shades of brown is it that's been painted on. You have this figure who I can tell is Jesus mostly through context clues, and he's wearing what looks like a sheet draped around him, but I assume is a toga situation. And he is looking behind him and has one of his arms stretched out towards this woman who is kneeling on the ground, and she's draped in a robe. And actually, you can't even really tell what his expression is because the level of detail is not that high in this painting. Whether it was ever there or it's been lost to time is hard to say. It seems like it's a pretty simplistic thing from the beginning, but there might have been like some weathering over thousands of years that has also affected the level of detail that you can tell in this, the level of distinction and color that you can see in this, which is not very much. And I said I can only tell this is Jesus basically through context. And part of the reason for that is that I think that in a lot of Christian art that you see, he's depicted with a halo around him. That's pretty dead giveaway for Jesus, but he doesn't have that here. And there's also just a very typical sort of look that you often see in depictions of Jesus, which you don't have here. I would say primarily because there is almost no level of detail to his face, so he could be anyone.
You are right, like the details aren't so great on this. However, he is in this painting, as well as a lot of the paintings in the catacombs that do depict Jesus, he isn't with that typical long hair, looking like an older guy with beard type, like a fatherly figure. Here actually looks more like somebody who's a younger person. Like, he doesn't have a beard, he has short hair, and he overall just looks more youthful than what we would be traditionally used to. Initially, when Christians were depicting Jesus, they were actually using just pictogram symbols. Like, they would use an anchor or a lamb or a peacock. They wouldn't actually draw his face. But over time, they did draw what they think he looked like. And this is maybe more than 100 years after Jesus existed, so maybe these people have just no idea what he looked like. And the thing is, a lot of Christians were initially Roman, and they believed in Roman pagan religions. A lot of them just painted what they know. So these early depictions of Jesus is based after the god Apollo, who is typically depicted as a young man with curly short hair. And Jesus was depicted in this way for a really long time. But then over time, it kind of morphed into some people started using Zeus as the reference to depict Jesus. And Zeus is more the long hair with beard, kind of fatherly figure type of person.
The effects of having more advanced art technology in being able to develop more and more detailed depictions of this figure, and also having more and more ability to spread that idea in second century. You can imagine it was very difficult to spread a unified idea of what he would look like, or even depict a unified idea of what they interpret him to look like. And obviously we don't have photographs. I wonder how much the ability to standardize it, create an image of him, just kind of changed over time.
This particular fresco is from probably the 4th century, between 300 to 350, but it is still quite early. Christianity was outlawed for a couple of centuries, at least. So a lot of Christians, they kind of had to hide the fact that they were Christians. So their artworks would have either been lost or only be discovered in these catacombs. This next work, stained glass. Stained glass in Chartres Cathedral in France, and it is one of the many Gothic churches in France. I'm using this one as an example because it is one of the most well-preserved cathedrals, and it also, most of it is from its original construction, which was around 1190 to 1220. So it's well-preserved and it hasn't been worked on over the years like some of the other cathedrals. And this place has a lot of windows and a lot of stained glass. I'm not going to get too much into Gothic architecture, but basically this is an example of high Gothic architecture. Gothic architecture is known for being really pointy. There's just lots of arches, and they're very pointy and very tall, and there's lots of spires. Another aspect of Gothic architecture is quite often asymmetrical, unlike Roman architecture, which had a lot of symmetry. The reason they were using these techniques like pointed arches and flying buttresses was because they were trying to build these buildings as high as possible. There was competition to build the tallest church ever. It is 113 meters, which at the time was one of the highest buildings ever. The idea is to symbolically trying to reach the heavens and therefore trying to reach God. The stained glass that's in this building, basically on every wall, there are hundreds of pieces of stained glass. And we're just going to focus on the north rose window.
The top half of it is this big circle, concentric circles of patterns inside of it in different shapes and forms. There's the biggest circle, and on the edges all around the biggest circle are semicircles with different patterns inside of them. And then there's this circle of little flower-like shapes, and then there's a circle of squares, and then there's a circle of these little oval shapes. And every single one of them is incredibly intricately designed, designs of stained glass made up of these tiny, tiny pieces of glass in between. And then underneath the top half, it's mostly taken up by this giant circle. The colors, there's a lot of blue and red. Everything is very bright when the sun is shining in through the glass. And so everything is very bright. And in the middle, you have the Virgin Mary and baby Jesus.
It is really intricate. One of the reasons why there's just so much stained glass is the technology was developed around the 7th century CE, but it wasn't really perfected until around this time in the 13th century. Stained glass is basically metal oxides that are different metals, so they have different colors, and then they are added to the glass or mixed onto the glass or painted on, and then it's put into a kiln. And then once it's heated to a certain temperature, the color is permanently fused to the glass. Every single piece is individually cut, and then they're inserted into lead borders, and then it's all assembled into one giant piece, and then they're fitted into the window.
I'm Mark Vinette. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.